Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Berger, speaker. Today on the broadcast, we will continue our series of studies, The Preeminence of Christ. We want to consider him today in the preeminence of his service over ours. Our service is important, but his service is far more important and delivered under such different circumstances. We're going to read our theme portions of scriptures again in first chapter of Colossians, his dear son, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things. And by him all things consist, all things hold together. And he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Godhead that in him all fullness should dwell. Now, if we don't accomplish anything else in this series of studies on the preeminence of Christ, it's the fastening of this portion of the word, very short, in the glories of our Lord Jesus Christ. We see him preeminent in the matter of the inanimate creation, the animate creation, the angelic creation, and his connection with the church. In all of these things, he is preeminent. And today we wish to develop the subject of service, his preeminence over ours. We're going to turn to the 17th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. And the Lord gives a parable in regard to service that will serve our purposes very wonderfully. We read in verse 7, "But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? Will he not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Does he thank that servant because he did these things that were commanded him? I trow not. In modern day English, that is, I think not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you by the Lord, of course, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Now, an unprofitable servant is a servant that does not render back to his master what the master paid for him. These are paid, bought slaves. And that's the thought. We'll develop that thought as we go through this portion of Scripture. Now, here we have this sermon, the service from the human point of view. Human owners of servants expect that a servant act like a servant. Verses 7 and 8. The Lord's parable starts at the human level. Which of you? Now, how do you feel about this toward a servant? And some of them probably had servants. Now, which of you, he says, which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say to him by and by, when he's come from the field, go and sit down to meat? No, he expects that servant to serve him. And the servant is not to question that. And the service from the servant's point of view is that the human servant expects to serve as outlined in the parable. And the Lord expects them to do so. The servant's appraisal of his own service is that we have done that which was our duty to do. Now, is this false humility? No, I don't think it is. I want to bring before you the application of this parable in our service for the Lord. And I think it starts out on a human level, and then the Lord says, now, if you do that for an earthly master, what about my respect? What about my dignity? And so he goes on and tells them this parable. Now, we're going to apply the parable. We, like the servants in the parable, are to realize that we're not our own, but that we're bought with a price. The Apostle Paul, and he was a servant, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20, writes these words, For you're not your own, you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, an interesting thing about the word redemption is this. The word redemption means the Greek word being agorazo, means to buy out of the market, and the underlying thought is the slave market. Now, here's what the Lord has done. He has bought us out of the slave market and our slavery to sin and our slavery to Satan. He has bought him out of the market, and we're to be his slave. Now, this means that you and I are servants of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Paul, he's not talking down to anybody when he says you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirits, which are God's. Paul wrote it, but Paul is not talking down. He refers to himself in Romans chapter 1 and verse 1, and he refers to himself as the servant of Jesus Christ. Now, the marginal reading has a bondman or a bond slave. Now, Paul says, I'm a bond slave of Jesus Christ. In what sense was he a bond slave? Voluntarily. Love made him a slave. Love made him a slave to the Lord Jesus. He realized what the Lord paid when he bought him out of the slave market from sin and Satan. And do we realize it? He gave his life. That was the price he paid for us slaves, if I may put it that way. He gave his own precious blood. Now, this helps us realize in the parable that they say, and they are told to say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. We are unprofitable servants. Do you think that we as Christians can pay back to the Lord Jesus Christ what he has paid for us? I can hear the answer immediately. Of course not. We couldn't buy our salvation. He gave his precious blood, his precious life, to redeem us out of the slave market. And here we are serving him. Will we ever get him paid back? Never. Never. His service to you and me is far greater than ours. It's preeminent over our service. We're going to be talking about that his service to us. We don't want to spend the whole broadcast on our service to him. We're going to talk about his service to us. And we have only one question to ask. How can we render less to our blessed master than an earthly servant to his master? We couldn't do it, could we? All right, let's go into his service for us. Now, the Lord's service for us is preeminent indeed. I'm going to refer to the 13th chapter of John's Gospel, and in that wonderful 13th chapter, we have our Lord Jesus speaking to his own on the night of his crucifixion, or on the night of his trial, or apprehension rather. His trial and crucifixion was the next day. They had just been up to the upper room. They had celebrated the Passover, and the Lord at the same time instituted the Lord's Supper. And he's lecturing them now. He's telling them. He's talking to them. Let's read about that wonderful occasion. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. The marginal reading is better. He loved them unto the uttermost. Now let's see what happens. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he was come from God and went to God, riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself, and poured water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towels wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. And so Simon Peter had to submit to having his Lord wash his feet. Now, why did he do that? Why didn't some of these disciples, and there were 12 of them, why didn't they think about doing this wonderful deed, this deed that was done in those days when they wore sandals out in the dust in the streets? It was a custom to wash your feet. And none of them had got up to do it. So the Lord did it. He furnished them with an example of humility. Now, doesn't this make him preeminent? He washing our feet, you know he's still doing it. He's still doing it by means of the Word of God. By the means of ministry from the Word of God. He washes our feet. Oh, yes. He has the uttermost love. Now he has the uttermost power. We read in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 16 these words. Who is made not after the law, that is Christ, of course. Who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. Oh, his service is in power. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9, we read there, and he said unto them, my grace is sufficient for me. This is addressed to the Apostle Paul. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Then Paul says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. The power of Christ. That power is available to you and me, and God works through us. Now we have the uttermost deliverance from Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25, and that uttermost deliverance starts with his unceasing intercession. We'll read the verse. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He is always praying for this. This is a form of a service. Our Lord Jesus Christ is our great high priest. Now the great high priest was a servant. Our Lord Jesus Christ is serving us at the right hand of God today as our great high priest. It's service. And oh, how effective it is. Unceasing intercession and unfailing help. Paul says it. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And incidentally, he's got the power. Now, all of his service to us is out of his love. That's really the source of it, out of his love. And our service to him should be in love, right back to the throne of God, where the Lord Jesus sits. It should not be for our own aggrandizement. It should not be a salve for our own conscience. Get out and do something for the Lord. We should do something for the Lord because we love him. But his service to you and to me is preeminent. It has the preeminence. And we can never pay him back for what we do down here. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus and for the wonderful example he sets before us. Help us to emulate him. We pray in his name. Amen.